Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Wade Butler, Chaplain for the Republics for the United States of America. We say it all the time, but we mean it with a sincere heart. What an honor and privilege it is to be here to share with you this night, to bring a word, to bring a prayer, an exhortation, a song, and talk about what God's doing. So we're finishing up just at sundown, so it's not quite sundown yet on the West Coast. We've already passed it on the East Coast and Central and Mountain, but they're just catching it over on the coast. And so we're still in Pentecost. And what an incredible, glorious time it is. And we're going to share what God is saying. We're going to share what some of the prophets are saying about the time. And there's a dream that I keep having. My wife and I talk about it a lot. It's a dream that occurs over and over again. And what happens in it, I keep on saying to people, things, cars, people's healing, houses, I keep saying, be made new in Jesus' name, and they're made new. And this is a season, this is a day where God is saying, be made new. So as John sounds the shofar, we're going to invite the angelic host in and the Lord through Holy Spirit that we would be made new on this day of making new. So the sound of the shofar.
We're going to do something. We're going to create an echo. Because in Exodus 19, when the shofar blew, it says there was a violent echoing sound.
Oh.
It says the same thing in Acts chapter 2. The English translates a mighty wind, but it was really a mighty echoing. It was the shofar sound. Think of it this way. God blowing his sound and you being the echo wall that receives it. So that the sound that comes out of his mouth will be the same sound that comes out of your mouth. And the ways that come out of him will be the same ways that come out of you. That's what's happened in these lands.
Now give a shout back.
Well, Wade just got kicked off. I'll go ahead and start. And when he gets back here, I'll go ahead and yield back to him real quick unless he pops back in here in just a moment. Kind of what I had been going through in my studies this week, as I've been doing for the past several weeks, was going through songs and prophetic songs, etc. There he is. He's back. So I'm going to yield back to Wade, and I'll
I told John
get things open.
A little earlier that we're in the midst of severe thunderstorms, and my line got knocked off again, so I apologize, but that may happen, so we're prepared for tonight. You know, Pentecost is an incredible time. We have prepared for it in our hearts in that we recognize that God is saying this is the season of the open door. It's a season of realigning. It's a season of being creative in that the first harvest takes place, and it was a feast time. The people celebrate because of the feast. Now, our ministry team just came back from a week in Jerusalem, and they sent pictures. And, you know, there's desert areas, but most of it is blossoming and beautiful. And that fulfilled Isaiah 35. The deserts blossomed again when Israel went in there and brought in water. And as soon as they brought in water, the deserts blossomed. The flowers are everywhere. I mean, it's just incredible what they're growing. And now they're one of the largest exporters of food and flowers in that part of the world. So when you look at Israel, you look at, you know, Israel is actually the forerunner that we look at to see what God's doing. So God is pouring out what's called manifest and manifold wisdom. And when you talk about a manifestation of something, it comes about, but a manifold is a multiplication, but it's a folding. It's an increase that goes over and over again. It's like the old adage, would you rather have $1 million or a penny a day doubled for 30 days? I'll be honest with you, I'll take the penny a day because it ends up being multiple million. And that's a folding. That is the manifold wisdom of God is folding out from heaven in such a display that it's causing incredible breakthroughs. There's wisdom and creativity and prosperity that's breaking off, out around the world. And part of it's breaking off old cycles and looking forward and pressing into what God's doing. Because he's bringing about visions. He's bringing about, supernatural signs, wonders, and miracles around the world. And what we have to do is say, Lord, I want to be in the midst of that. I want to step into that time and season. So as we go forward into this season, this year, we need to open up and look literally the fountains of deep that God said he's opening up. Let it pour out on us. Let there be a refreshing, a rebirth, a regrowing in our lives. So, Father, as we come to you in Yeshua's name, we come to give you thanks with a grateful heart. We come blessing you and blessing you that you are making things new. It's a time and a season of birthing. It's a time and a season of planting and growing. The first harvest has just taken place. It's generally the barley harvest. And, that is one of the important crops of that part of the world, Lord God, and how you said, declare a feast. So this week has been a week of feasting. So just as you are restoring the land and feasting, restore us in our land. Pour your glory out upon us. Let your anointing rest upon us. Let your divine presence fill us. Just as at the time of Pentecost when Holy Spirit filled those in the portico, Lord, fill us. Fill us afresh and anew. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to be able to receive. Give us the recognition of you and us and we and you. Pour your spirit out in such a way that you would wash us with the washing of the water of the word and the blood of the lamb and the filling of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in such a way is that we would burst forth with great light and joy and dancing and feasting and celebrating for your glory. It's the time and the season, and we thank you for it. We call upon the hosts of heaven. We call upon the angelic presence to come in and camp around every one of us that's on this call and those that will listen to the call later, that they would enter into this time of praise and worship and feasting as we have, and in that you would restore everything that needs to be restored. So, Lord, we're gonna talk about worship for a few moments and what you want to do for this time and season in our lives, recognizing that we're called into worship, we're called into praise, and it doesn't make any difference how good we are at it. We're not all meant to be recording artists. We're meant to be worshipers. And worship can be on your knees, on your face, your hands lifted up, singing songs, dancing. There's so many forms of worship. So, Lord, help us to press into that, and you receive the glory of it. And I thank you for it in Yeshua's name. Now, John's going to talk about that for a few minutes. I'm going to go into what God is doing in Israel and in this time and these days, and then Matt's going to bring a wonderful teaching. So, John Rockwell.
Good evening, everybody. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you're clear.
All right, very good. Very good. I was just, things were breaking up on my end, and I wasn't sure if it was me or not. So, anyway, as I started, when Wade got kicked off, explaining kind of where I was going this evening in my studies, I continue to study sound and music and song, et cetera. And Dean Mitchum from Florida had a good word about that this past week. Actually, it was yesterday, and he has some good things to talk about as far as song and worship and things along that line. So I kind of want to bring that and then to tie into to the particular time that we're in now, Pentecost, taking the scripture out of Acts 2, which talks about Pentecost and bringing that to as a word, a song, however the Spirit leads tonight. And that's where I'll end in, with prayer after that. And then Matt will have a good word to tonight as well to bring. But this is what Dean has to say. What makes great a psalmist is not your way with the instrument or song or your voice, etc. It's the way with the word and the Spirit upon the instrument or song or your voice. And again, Wade touched on that as well. Too many people want to be prophetically spontaneous in worship, but there's a whole lot more to spontaneity through the spontaneity in and out, the prophetic season, the preparation for this is not always spontaneous at all because it's the Spirit flowing through the particular act or through you. It takes time to be trained and to be activated by reason of use, development, and ministry flow. It's all about right time. So he says there are three elements that come together to form a prophetic song that hits the mark or a target when released. How you feel your prophetic song quiver is what he calls it. Number one, start with scripture. And I've done that each time that I brought something. I've always looked at scripture to see what the scripture is saying. And Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Like any word of God, it starts with and is anchored in scripture. In this verse, using spiritual songs to teach and admonish is accomplished by letting the word of Christ dwell in us. By filling ourselves with the word, we will have the scripture draw us from, and we will have a reference to sing from. Number two, developing your skill. Psalms 33:3 says, sing to him a new song, play skillfully, and shout for joy. Recently, he was teaching the skilled of the psalmist and gave his own definition of the word skill in the context of ministry. Number three, be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18-19 says, and do not drink with wine or dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Another way God leads us is that we are called upon by leadership who is also following the Spirit. King David established musicians who who prophesied in their direction. First Chronicles 25:1-3 says, this is another reason to be filled with the word and with the skill. When the Spirit leads us directly or by leadership, we are ready. The Holy Spirit will be in the moment of grace and illuminate the situation that needs to be a prophetic song, and he will show us, and he will show us to hit the target and entrust with our skill to release God's word through song. And tonight, as we're still in Passover, I know the sun is set in Israel, and it's set in the Eastern time zone and the Central time zone in Oregon, where I'm at. The sun is still up, so we're still in Pentecost. And Acts 2:2 starts, a windstorm had filled the house where they were sitting, and then it looked like flames of fire appearing on them, settling on each one of them. And everybody present was filled with the Holy Spirit, fires of flames and flames of fire, the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost. Father Jehovah, thank you for letting us come together tonight and celebrate your Pentecost. It's a new season, a new fresh oil of your Holy Spirit is coming on us. And we just thank you and praise you for that tonight. And thank you for giving us this time to come before you with praise and songs and scriptures that teach us your ways and the way that you want us to fulfill your work here on this earth, in your republic and in your kingdom, which your kingdom is here on earth. And we thank you and praise you for that, and praise you for Jesus, your Son, and your Holy Spirit, and yourself. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. I hope that all of you have put on your computer our prayer calendar. It's a one-year celebration, one-year anniversary of beginning it. It is a labor of love. It takes a lot of time, and enjoy every minute of it. I get help, and I quote from a lot of people. I want to quote yesterday's, Angela Grinig out of Washington, and she's talking about the time and the season, and it's a perfect overview of where we are. You know, we're literally in the 70th year of independence for Israel. It's a time when the nation is celebrating the rebirth, and it's the time when we're celebrating our rebirth as a nation also. The end time reformation and revival harvest fire is being fanned now. It's something that I held back from for the last couple of years simply because God told me that wasn't what I was supposed to do. But we're in the timeline where the revival fire is starting to burn. And God is saying it's a divine timeline, and it's unfolding this season, connecting both Israel and the independence of Israel and Donald Trump with him moving the embassy and him being a trumpet or a shofar. And it's a time of preparation because God is saying, get ready. As we were preparing from Passover to Pentecost, this season, Holy Spirit was calling out and saying, get ready to expect an explosion of my Holy Spirit and the radical shift of nations into their proper position as things are being restored and restorations come into families. Now, this is true to the Republic and this nation. The things are starting to be restored. We don't have the greatest coverage of voice out there, but we have a good coverage. And our Tuesday night radio program and the Facebook that President Geiger is doing, and then people are posting the daily prayer guides and Bible studies on that Facebook, and we're starting to get recognized. People know who we are. They know who we are overseas. They know who we are in the United States, and that's one of the reasons that President Turner was persecuted, because the last administration feared what we were doing. Right now, it's a time of preparation, and God is saying, get ready. I'm doing a 180-degree turnaround. I'm going to pour out my spirit, and I'm going to bring forth a reformation that will release a revolution of his glory. And it's going to be one of the greatest outpourings of signs, wonders, and miracles. You've heard me talk about it for some time now, that this is coming. I'm believing it. I'm believing I'll be a part of it, and many of you will be parts of it, that we'll see restorations of our body. I was talking about before the call came on, where we so often have dreams, and I have a recurring dream, and Francis and I talk about it. And in that dream, I say two things. It could be a car, it could be a tree, it could be a house, but more importantly, it's people. And I said, be they made new in Jesus' name, and they're made new. Now, that means that they're totally restored, and I have this dream over and over again that we're coming into the season of being able to speak what I call the Lord. You've heard me say this the last couple of weeks. You literally are reverberating the sound of God, that which he's speaking in heaven. Just like Jesus said, I only speak and only do what Father shows me and Father says. We're going to be doing that because we're going to be hearing direct connection from God, and when we speak it, it manifests. So in the next few years, as we go forward, we're going to see the greatest harvest that's been prophesied in the Bible and by man in the last few generations that's ever come. There are doors being flung open. There are doors being shut. There are things happening that we've never seen. So as we think about Pentecost this year and what's the day that we just are finishing, we need to meditate on God's outpouring and what it means in your life. Now, I said early, again, before the call started, that it's a good time to been praying in tongues all day, every chance you get, because God is pouring out his plans and opening up a new destiny that we would hear the mandate of God, what he's speaking to us. And it's our part to go in and fulfill the prophecy of Christ in our lives. Now, the Lord talks about it, and John said it. I'm going to just repeat it, Acts 2:1 in the Amplified. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all in one place, and suddenly the sound from heaven, like a rushing violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared upon them tongues resembling fire, which had been distributed among them and resting on each of them as they received the Holy Spirit. And they all were filled, that is, diffused throughout their being with Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues, different languages, as the Spirit would give them the ability to speak clearly and appropriately. Now, when we blow the shofar, you've often heard me ask for John, of John, give me the one from the east, give me one from the west, the north, the south, give me the combined echoes. What happened, and Alan Fabian was talking about it just before he played that echoing shofar for us, and it is the sound of heaven came down from above. So the wind didn't come, the sound didn't come from the east or the west. It came from above. It came from a heavenly position out of a different dimension into ours, and the men and women were filled. And God talks about it, that we are literally supposed to be filled continually with the Holy Spirit and with power. And because of that, it shifts us. It shifts us into a new place, a new position, and it allows us to receive that which God is having to say, do, and for us to be a part of. Now, and, Matt's going to bring teaching, and he's going to bring it. We're going to talk about the bride. We're going to talk about Melchizedek. We're going to talk about Holy Spirit and that shift and that sound and that rush and what God is doing. And it's not at all what we generally think. We have to align with what he's doing, not him aligning to what we want him to do. And as we press in and receive the power of Holy Spirit, we have the opportunity to hear God and to do. And that's what he's asking of us. Now, I was supposed to give Matt a particular introduction. I forgot what it was with all the distraction, my phone hanging up. But Matt's got a powerful word, and it's going to be impactful. And we need to pay attention as God is bringing about this season for the bride through us as the order of kings and priests to enter in with the bride to do that which God is saying, that he would bless us and that he would allow the fullness of times and seasons to come upon us through Holy Spirit. So, Matt, I didn't give you exact what we were going to. I messed up on that, but I know you got a powerful word, and it's not going to matter. Matt Frazier.
Well, thanks for the introduction, and, you know, it's always a pleasure and honor to be here, and tonight I just want to unpack some scriptures and some of the things the Lord's really been showing me and been putting on my heart, and there's been a lot of talk recently about the bride, Melchizedek, and obviously there's too much to cover in just this, but since it's Pentecost, I want to just take a few moments and kind of put some framework around some of this and unpack it a little bit. And first, when we look at the bride, you know, it takes me right to Revelation 19:7, where it said, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready." I mean, that's that great, glorious day that the church always looks forward to, and for good reason. You know, it is just the greatest celebration that all of us are looking forward to. But I always ask the question, is the bride ready? And I think all of us know the answer to that. We're all in a process. And Ephesians 1 says, "Praise to be to God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us before the creation of the world to be holy, blameless in his sight, and love." I mean, everything is there. We know that. Every spiritual blessing is there in Christ. Yeshua had a plan of redemption. He went to the cross. He rose again. He's seated at the right hand. And it's a plan for each one of us to enter into. And it's what he's really calling us to in this day. You know, Ephesians 5 talks about presenting her to him, which is Christ, the radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. You know, when I read that, I think, boy, I know I don't fit that bill. And I know that the Lord's heart is just crying out in this day more than ever for all of us to come into that. You know, some of the doctrines will say we're washed clean in the blood, and they'd be right. For it is his righteousness that we put on when we take communion, when we enter into that, when we pray, when we intercede, when we pray in the Spirit, we're allowing his righteousness to clothe us. But there's a rub to the whole thing. Do we live under that 24/7? Do we live under the blood, in the Spirit, in his presence? You know, Adam was the prime example. He walked in the presence of Yahweh, but he stepped out of his divine protection when he engaged with the tree of good and evil. Yeshua's resurrection is the bridge back into that primordial state of being that was taken away by Adam. But each one of us has to enter into that. It's a time and season more than any that he wants us to press into that, to learn to live in that presence again. And one of the scriptures I want to just point out, obviously, with the bride is the 10 virgins in Matthew 25. It says, at the time of the kingdom, there'll be 10 virgins that took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps out but didn't take any oil. The wise ones, however, took oil along with their lamps. Verse 5 says this, the bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. You know, if you think about that state, how many of us over the years and generations have all looked for Christ coming for that great wedding day? I believe a lot of us have fell asleep at the wheel, so to speak. Some of us may even be focusing in the wrong direction and looking at things maybe we shouldn't be looking at, rather than focusing and just pressing into that relationship. It's interesting in the Garden of Gethsemane that Yeshua told his disciples to watch and pray that they do not enter into temptation. He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Unfortunately, we are in these vessels, the human bodies. We have issues. We have things that come into our lives that affect our souls, our concentration, our focus. And we don't always live in that 24/7 divine spiritual sense. The Greek word for watch in Matthew 26 and Mark 14 is griepko. It means being vigilant, to keep awake, to be alert, to keep one's eyes open. There's another word that really means to be sleepless, to keep oneself awake for the purpose of watching. It's interesting how the Greeks have such a wonderful language of breaking these things down. And as we continue in the text, it says, at midnight, the cry rang out, and the bridegroom came out to meet the virgins. The virgins woke up, trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones didn't have enough oil, and they asked for oil. So they went out and tried to scramble at the last minute to prepare themselves. But the virgins who were ready went in with him to that wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others came back, but the door was shut. I think in this time and season, there is that open door. Wade made reference to it earlier. All are called, and many desire to be that bride, but not all have filled their lamps, and not all will fill their lamps. You know, the virgins who were ready went into him, and the door was shut. I think that's a very stern thing for us to understand. And I don't know about you, but that verse tells me we all need to be ready. And I pray for all of us to get that revelation. And for us, one of the greatest things the Lord's going to do in this outpouring that's coming in this nation and the world is to use us to just relay that simple message right there, to be prepared. In Ephesians 5, John referenced some of that, you know, God's example is for us to walk in a way of love, to show those people there is something more. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering, it's a sacrifice. It's something that resonates through our spirit. And the scripture goes on to say some pretty harsh things, but I'm going to read it for tonight. Verse 3 says, but among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be a obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, which are all out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. That's a pretty strong statement, but it's there for a reason. It says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not partner with them. In other words, we have to be very intentional in this time and season, not allowed to mixture. I mean, we have to associate with the world. We have to do business with the world. We have to do things with people that are unbelievers. But we have to be very careful not to let the mixture into our lives. Because that darkness that it talks about in verse 8, the Lord illuminates everything. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. What do we hear all over every day? It's nothing but gossip. It's nothing but slander. It's nothing but self-justification. And, you know, we have to be very careful not even to engage in it, because the light, as it says in verse 13, will expose everything, and that is the light that we're supposed to be. I love verse 14 where it says, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. You know, there are parts in each one of us that are deeply hidden that the Lord wants to shine on, and that is part of the process. I know we went through a boatload of scripture here, but, you know, as I put this together, I was convicted by his word, his truth, and his plumb line. Every time you read that, you just go further and further into it. And since it's Pentecost, I wanted to look at the 120 in the upper room, those who were called out by the master to wait until the appointed time. Something of note for you and I, and Yeshua knew their hearts, just like he knows ours. He knows the sacrifices they made, just as we have, to seek him. And their desire was to put him first above everything else. You could say that they were groomed, or perhaps even a better term is they went in for a time of preparation. When they were in that room waiting, it was a time of preparation to receive that spirit. Just as the bride does in the Hebrew culture before the wedding day, they were separated, and there's a time of purification. There's a process to be ready and to be made ready for the bridegroom. Much like the virgins who filled their lamps with oil, we need to be humble. We need to be ready to receive, and we need our hearts prepared. Pentecost is obviously known for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but specifically, it fell on those whose hearts were aligned and prepared for the Holy Spirit, and Yeshua knew that. You know, many look forward to this next great outpouring that we're going to receive. The question is, are their hearts prepared? Are they ready? And it's the same for us. We need to constantly be vigilant. We need to stand watch and pray, just as Yeshua told his disciples. The Lord is always willing to impart. You know, it's not just Pentecost, it's all the time. Each of us has an upper room and a lower room inside of us. You know, in Luke 17, it says, neither say here or there when they're talking about the kingdom, for behold, that kingdom of God is within you and me. It's the reality of the kingdom in us. It's what becomes mature and comes alive when we allow Yeshua into our most intimate rooms. This is the process of becoming one new man in Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. This is the taking on the nature of kings and priests that it talks about in Revelation 5:10, where he said he's made us into a kingdom of priests to serve our God, that they will reign on earth. There's an authority attached to that and a responsibility that only comes through a purification process, a preparation that he does in each one of us. That expression, you have made, simply implies that it's Yeshua who does it. But it's us that has to be open and a willing vessel to receive that, to receive that transformation in our heart. And if we really look at the order of things, you realize that we become a king and priest, and we learn to function in that authority, just as we look at Acts 2, before you become the spotless bride. There's a process. In Acts 2, Peter and the 120 were commissioned and sent out to help prepare the body to become kings and priests. As we see with Stephen, there were those who had matured into that role of kings and priests, and as such, they ministered in that authority. There was miracles, there were signs, and even when he was being stoned, you just see his heart was a total reflection of Christ. He said, forgive them, for they know not what they do, just as Christ did. I mean, that is the ultimate goal for each one of us. I mean, Peter and John, they were all amazing to watch in Acts as they go through. They were great power and signs, and we read, Peter was so full of the Spirit as he walked down the street, his shadow fell and people were healed. Now that is hosting the presence. That is manifesting the love of Christ. However, we also see Paul rebuking him for allowing legalism back into the fold. So the process is really about becoming a kingdom priest and understanding how to minister, allowing Christ to work through you so that you can become mature. And what it really does is allowing your inner fire bride to become fully mature in Christ. I mean, Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 2, where he said, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or wisdom as I proclaimed the testimony about God. For I declared to know nothing wise with you except Christ and Christ crucified. He says he came with weakness and fear and much trembling. But yet he delivered a message. Because it was through the Spirit, it was through that obedience and learning that role, that humility, and manifesting God's kingdom as a king and priest. You know, it's all about him. It's not all these things that we make it when we try to put everything into a framework of our own intellectual understanding. It has to be a humble and teachable spirit where he can work with you. Even Yeshua said when asked about the end days, truly I don't know. He said, therefore keep watch because you do not know the hour of the day. It's a reason he says that, because it has to be obedience and total submission to him and how he's going to work. You know, so many people are chasing the end time eschatology, of which I certainly have been guilty over the years, but I've learned one thing, to watch and pray and to enter in to him, into his preparation and total submittal. The greatest things I've experienced in the spiritual realm and in his realm are just going in with no agenda and just seeking his perfect heart and his perfect will. When that happens, amazing things happen. You know, that's the key to all of this. You know, when we look at King David He was an amazing example of this. He saw the future and grabbed it. He engaged in the reality of that realm. In Psalm 110, he says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make the enemies a footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of thy enemies. The people shall be willing in the day of thy power and the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning." He was so elegant in his speech. But he goes on to say, "The Lord had sworn and not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." See, he was functioning in a special way, and it is his tabernacle that is coming back. There was no Holy of Holies. There was no curtain. There was 24/7 worship. There was the presence of the Shekinah glory resting in there. And David went there for counsel. He went there for worship. He went there for to stay within that realm. And when he stepped out of it, we know the story. But again, there was a shadow of something greater that each of us are learning to walk in. It's interesting, in the end of the age, we read in Revelation 22, "You have sent my angel to give a testimony to the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come." Now that is a total unity. I mean, just picture that for a second. Picture yourself in the Spirit in that situation with the glory connected. "Let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And the one who desires the water, let him drink freely. It says, I testify to everyone who hears the words of this prophecy." And he gives a warning not to add anything or take anything away. Again, it's that plumb line. And it's allowing his word and his own intentions to be aligned with ours. You know, amazing things are happening all around us in our country and the world. This summer, there's a harvest coming. June 10th, there is a Harvest America in Arlington, Texas, by Pastor Greg Laurie. And in August, in Upper State New York, there's a stadium revival with Todd Bentley. And this morning, as I looked at a word that he wrote, he talks about an angelic visitation he had. And he had 3 points that I thought were very interesting. The first one is this: the revelation of the Lamb and his song that will stand on Mount Zion. There's a frequency and a sound that he's releasing in this day. And there's a call, there's a clarion call for each of us to step into greater levels. And we have an open invitation to join him there. Just as David did. David saw things and he stepped into the future long before it was even known by most people. And he manifested that. Number two is the gospel will be restored in the last days by angelic ministry. Well, we know that. We've been talking about angels, and we've been talking about engaging with them. And there are myriads of angels that are just standing by to be released on assignment. And each of us has that authority, and we need to step into that. We need to ask for that, and we need to seek that through the Lord. The third is the Son of Man will harvest the earth. The sheep nations and the goat nations. There will be a harvesting of all seeds sown in the earth. You know, that word Son of Man is a very interesting term. We hear it in some of the scriptures. And I would encourage each one of us to study those words, because there's something very personal when you start to do a study on that and understand your role in that. You know, going back to Acts, where Peter and John, they gave witness to incredible things, the Lord, his resurrection, great power, and and obviously the Spirit was poured out and many, many came to Christ. It is the same today. You know, his resurrection and his resurrection power is the thing that's going to be demonstrated through signs and wonders. And that is the role of a king and priest. And that is the role that we talk about a lot on this call. Revelation of that eternal gospel being manifested here on earth is the true nature of what Christ is going to do to bring the restoration back. And I want to leave you with some lyrics from a song which some of you may be familiar with from Planet Shakers called Turn It Up. I was in a church on yesterday, actually, there's worship, and I've heard this in many of the churches I've been in, but there's something interesting in it that the Lord pointed out. It starts out and said, "This is prophetic. I can feel it in the air. We lift our praise and you change the atmosphere. With hearts open, now everybody's singing, I am free. Turn it up, the sound of praise, make it louder than any other. Lift him up and shout his name over all." And then there's a part of the song where it slows down. And it says, "Our praise goes up and your rain comes down." You think about that for a minute when you're praying and you're in your quiet time and you're just seeking the Lord. Sometimes it's best to just start out and just listen, because when we listen then his and we're aligned with his heart, the rain comes down and the sound and the frequency comes into us and we receive it. And as I heard that, the Holy Spirit said this to me: when we step into him, you Yeshua, your rain, R-E-I-G-N, comes down. And that is on earth as it is in heaven. When we are truly in that place, that's when he works through us. That's when we operate in that realm. And each time we have an experience like that, there's a transformation. There's something in us. There's an igniting of that inner fire bride that continues to purify, prepare. And that is the process of making us pure and spotless. And it is a process that each one of us needs to step into. But it's through those moments and those times when we experience his great love and his fire and his passion just moving inside of us that these things manifest. I can think of no better message for this Pentecost. Just as that fire fell on them, that same fire is in us. That same fire is calling to each one of us individually. Each one of us is in a different place, and each one of us needs things a little differently. But he knows exactly how to deliver that. And as he does that, and corporately, together, as we're all on this call, and we step in together, amazing things take place and transformation, and just the way he ministers, it's just an awesome and honoring thing. So I want to encourage each one of us to take this time of Pentecost and just allow the Lord to speak to you individually. Whatever it is he's showing you, just receive it. And if it's something that needs to be dealt with, just lay it down. That cross is the ultimate gateway to leave everything there. That blood, as we talked about at the very beginning, cures everything. He laid it all down for us, and we need to continually use that to help us. You know, when we try to do it on our own, that's when we're outside of that divine protection. You know, we see it in this nation. This nation has turned it back. Now there's a calling, there's a stirring for the same thing to come back under that divine protection. Our documents speak of that. and it's the same. It's that word, it's that promise, and it's that just heart of Him and allowing that to become part of who we are in our spirit that separates us from the world.
And if you have, wait, is it okay if we do communion now?
Absolutely. I was going to recommend you to do it now.
All right. Well, if you have your communion elements, go ahead and grab those. You know, Father, we are just so thankful for this time corporately as we are all gathered here. Lord, we just honor you. We honor you, Yeshua, for your great gift, your great sacrifice, for laying everything down, for becoming the spotless lamb. You took all our sins as the spotless lamb. As the scripture says, you went quietly and just took all that for us. Lord, as we come together, all of us together as one in this time of communion, as we like to say, common union with you, one spirit, just wrapped into you, Lord, into your heart, into the very DNA, Lord, as we take this body that represents your broken body, we do that honoring you above all, Lord, and we ask very humbly, Lord, with our hearts, we want to receive all it is that you have for each of us, Lord. So as we take this bread, we say, with this bread, Lord, we become one. Partake of the bread. Lord, in this juice or wine, which is your blood, as we talked about, Lord, it is your righteousness, which we receive now. Lord, and as we take this in, there is a record of you. There's a record of your very DNA that we'll take into us. Lord, let it flow into us, Lord, and let it wash us clean. And help restore the very core, bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh, Lord. Let us become closer as we draw into you and we take this wine, Lord. We honor you. We love you, Lord, and we worship you for the great King that you are and our Lord and Savior. Partake. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Matt, for the powerful word. As the bride, and you've heard me say this, the Lord told us to help train up the bride. And I'm the only one training the bride, just that he wanted me to concentrate on that we would be better equipped to understand these times and seasons that we're in as we go into the last of days of the church age, preparing to go into messianic rule and that time. And it's everywhere around us. The prophets are talking about the Pope being the false prophet and the Antichrist being soon revealed, Israel being restored, all the things that are going on, temple being built, things have to be done. So don't panic. It's not tonight. It could be tonight for any of us, but for the world, it's not yet because there's things that have to be done. And he's preparing the bride, and just like the virgins, you know, he... he's expecting us to be ready and filled with Holy Spirit. Not too long ago, there was a discovery in Israel, and it predated the Dead Sea Scrolls by 400 years, and it was a locket or medallion that had what we consider Numbers 6, 24, and 25, and we read it in the English language just very quickly. It says, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee, and the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee." Now, we read that and we go, that's cool. Oh, how simple our language is. This not only speaks of the Lord, but this is a prayer from, this is the prayer that God prayed. This was Father praying, revealing himself to Moses. And it was his prayer. He says, "Moses, pray this." And literally what it is, it's a fulfillment of Holy Spirit in our times. When the Lord says, and this was a gentleman by the name of Warren Marcus. He's been on Sid Ross several times. In his testimony, this prayer brought him to the Lord because a Gentile brought him in. And he's a Messianic Jew, and Sid Roth is a Messianic Jew. And he was explaining it, and he says, listen to this. He says, "The English Bible says the Lord bless you, but in ancient Paleo-Hebrew, it really implies a whole lot more. It says, may your heavenly Father, he who exists, kneel in front of you." Like a father reaching out, is, you know, he's kneeling down to pick up a child. And what it means is that he kneels and makes himself available with his arms extended, like a father reaching out to his child to love him and bestow gifts and promises on him. And the word says, "and keep you." That means literally that the Heavenly Father who exists guards you with a hedge of thorny protection. And his arms going around you is a divine embrace that he prevents Satan and your enemies from harming you, your soul, your mind, your spirit. And, you know, do any of us need deliverance? Absolutely. I know every person on this call has either been through deliverance, continually needs to be in deliverance, and shall go through deliverance because that's what God does. You know, what do we need? Do we need healing? I need physical healing. I'm not totally finished yet, but in the spirit, I'm finished. In the spirit, I'm healed. I'm walking it out. And then he says, "make his face shine upon you." The Heavenly Father says he'll illuminate himself in the fullness of who he is as he wraps his arms around you in order to bring you to the fulfilling point of your God-given destiny and purpose. Now, who does this? Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. The English translation also says, "and be gracious unto you." Now, I really love this because when you're looking at that, it's what it literally means is that his eyes would smile with great pleasure. You say, well, how can eyes smile? Every one of us has seen it in somebody we love. He's saying, "I love you, my son, my daughter. I'm pleased with you. You are one of my favorite ones," and his countenance is going to rest upon us. Now, the word in Hebrew means is nesha, and it means to be lifted up and carried like a child is lifted up and carried by a father. So that is the Heavenly Father. He's lifting us up like a child, like a son and a daughter, and he's carrying us in his arms, supporting us with his divine embrace and his entire being. And this is what we get in the relationship that he leaves with us, and he says, "and give you peace." Well, peace means shalom, and in Hebrew, it often means absence of war. Yeah, okay, but that's not what all it means. It means that God is going to set in place what you need to be whole and complete so that you can walk in victory from moment to moment by the power of Holy Spirit. So this is all about the filling of Holy Spirit. This very prayer that he prayed in Numbers 6, 24, 25 is about the fullness of Holy Spirit coming upon you, that he may give you supernatural health, supernatural peace, supernatural welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, protection, fullness, rest, harmony, as well as the absence of discord. Now, that's a lot. Think about it. That two sentences is all this. Now, that is what he imparts upon us when Holy Spirit fills us. And he wants to give us the fullness. The Holy Spirit has to teach us how to enter into that fullness. So 2,000 years ago, give or take some days, at the first time Pentecost was celebrated as the time of the Holy Spirit. It's the feast of the first harvest. And it was being celebrated, and it was the time when Holy Spirit came, because God said, if you will gather and wait there for me, I will send my helper. Now, why? Because of his greater glory coming. And we're pressing into the time and season of his greater glory. Now, here's a man of God that is powerful. It was Smith Wigglesworth. And Smith Wigglesworth prophesied many things that are written. And one of the things he prophesied was about the end time move, the end time harvest. He said it would never end, and it would be 1,000 times more powerful than anything that the world has ever seen before. Now, that's pretty powerful because of what the Lord did, but 1,000 times more powerful than anything Billy Graham did, 1,000 times more powerful than Allen and Heflin and Ward and all these different mighty men and women of God, 1,000 times. And it would all be about his love and glory encompassing us in such a way that we would receive the fullness of Holy Spirit. Now, he was talking about Holy Spirit back in Numbers. So when Christ said it, they understood it because they had learned it. It had been talked about, but nobody had seen it. There were anointings along the way, but nobody experienced them except kings and priests and those called of God. And he was saying he was going to pour his spirit out on all men that would be willing. So God is saying, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious right now, because I'm about to do something that's not been done, and it's going to be 1,000 times greater than all the efforts that have taken place. He's saying be expectant. Be expectant, because there are going to be signs, wonders, miracles, and breakthroughs like have never been seen. And Matt and I talk about technology a lot because we both represent companies that do technology. And one technology out there is a DNA regenerator. And that DNA regenerator is literally, in their test, they're restoring hearts, lungs. It's like the stem cells. It's causing the DNA to take it back to the healing place that you were born with, that you were supposed to have when you were young. And they're already experimenting with it. They're already prototypes. And who gets to use them? I'm not sure yet. That was my first question. Who gets to take advantage of this? And God is saying, if signs and wonders by man are coming about, how much greater am I going to do? We're going to literally do what I said. We're going to be able to say, be made new in Jesus' name. Not just be made whole, because you can be made whole at 90 years old. You're still 90 years old. You're just made whole. But God is saying be made new, which is a DNA reconstruction, and that brings about a new heart, a new liver, a new mind. The cancer is gone. The arteries are clean. God is saying it's all going to come out through his Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit and the angels are going to bring about the teaching. And the teaching are God's frequencies. And the frequencies comes through prayer and praise and through the sounds of the shofar, the sounds of the trumpets, the sound of God listening, because it's going to come from above, not from either side, not from north, south, east, or west, but it's going to come from above. So don't ignore the signs. God is saying breakthrough is here. The kingdom of God is here. So if the kingdom of God is here, then the bride has got to be prepared, because the king is coming. And we've got to expect the change, and expect it to be godly change, and expect it to be swift. Now, God's angel armies are being poured out all over the world. I don't remember if Gene sent it to me, I sent it to her. David, maybe you can tell us. It was the picture of the angel that the security camera caught. All I know is that we sent it out. I sent it out to hundreds, and it's been sent out over and over again. And the security company, you can look at the video right there. They don't even know what it is. They said, oh, is this a moth? Well, it doesn't look like a moth to me. It could be an angel, but we don't know. Because this angel is hovering over someone's home and vehicle. Well, you know, angels are being seen around the world. This is happening now, people. How do you think all the Muslims and Hindus and people are coming to the Lord? Jesus is manifesting himself. Angels are being manifest. The ministry Elijah Challenge that I'm involved with in India has had almost 3 million souls in 2.5 years. They have over 50 people raised from the dead, signs, wonders, and miracles, healings, angels manifest, all kinds of things going on. And it's happening in Pakistan. It's happening in different parts of the world. And the persecution is great because of it. But you know what? People's lives are being changed. Their history, their eternity is being changed. And God is saying, don't be anxious. Be prepared. Have your lamps full of oil. Because you're going to need the fullness of Holy Spirit. You're going to need the indwelling of Holy Spirit. And then I'm going to finish up with this, and then we're going to do some calling on people. And this was the last word that I had on the calendar for the day, for today's lessons. It's Acts 1:8. We alluded to it, and I'm going to read it again. But you will receive power and the ability when Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to tell the people about me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. Now, we need every bit of Holy Spirit that he's willing to give us. We need all the blood of Jesus he's willing to give us, yet one blood would cleanse the whole world. One drop of blood would cleanse the world. And God is saying he wants us to be filled and continually filled, both with the Holy Spirit and his blood. So God is saying every Pentecost, you know, you do it in honor and remembrance and celebration, but every day. Be filled. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a new day, every day. Governor Mason and I were talking earlier in the call. You know, he and I have been through an awful lot, and when you get up and get to put your feet down on the ground, you go, wow, praise God, it's a new day. I didn't die last night. You know, it's another day. God is saying it's a new day. I've got more opportunity. I've got more time to accomplish the kingdom destiny and purpose that I'm called to. And that call is to be filled, be renewed, be restored, be made whole, and in that, have your life affect others that they will come into the kingdom. Lord, I want to thank you. What a blessing and honor it is that when you say, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and the Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious to us and grant us favor or be merciful, kind, the different translations, Lord, and lift his countenance upon us and give us peace, you mean so much more than what we understand. Grant us revelation, knowledge, and understanding. Grant us wisdom. Grant us discernment, the things that Matt was teaching. Grant us to be able to walk into praise and worship and bless you as John is teaching. Grant us the ability to receive that which you want to give us, that your glory would come and we'd fulfill the destinies that we're called to, and you would be glorified, and we get to enter into the kingdom. And we get to bring others with us. And we get to be witnesses in Judea and Samaria and to the other parts of the world. You were saying around the world, because back then that was the known world. So, Lord, help us. Help us be and do that which you want of us, that you receive the glory and we get to walk in it. And grant us peace and rest. And let the blood of Jesus cover us. And Holy Spirit, come and fill us. Come and power each and every one of us. Swirl upon us like a tornado over us. Cloven tongues of fire, that your glory come upon us and that we would just have a wonderful time of speaking in tongues and praying in tongues and worshiping you. Lord, help us to put on praise music and help us to dance before you with joy and thanksgiving. Help us to see, know, and understand who you are and who we are in you and you in us. And I thank you for these things in Yeshua Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We've got a little time, and John, I'm actually going to ask something to you because the Holy Spirit put it on me a few moments ago. I call on people to pray, and God's going to tell you how many and who to call on, but he told me to tell you, to ask you to call on those that were to pray because he's going to give you the unction of who's to pray and how many and when we're to close out. So, John, I surrender to you in obedience.
All right, thank you. The first person that that I think needs to pray tonight is President Geiger. Do you have something you want to pray or bring to the table this evening?
Thank you, John. Thank you, Wade. Wonderful evening here talking about Pentecost. You know, the first Pentecost, we don't think about it in the church world much, but... It was when God gave Moses the law, came down and the end result of all that was, I believe there was like 3,000 men that were slain by the, probably by, because of the disobedience and the golden calf and all that. Well, then you move forward to the time of Yeshua, and Yeshua telling his disciples to wait. You know, they were waiting there in the upper room, the same as the children of Israel were waiting at the bottom of the mountain. So it's all a mirror image. And so this time around, upon the waiting and the coming again of the very same tongues of cloven fire, which John has aptly described as echoes, but you could actually see them. It could be seen. And then originally, the account that was given, when you read historical accounts of what happened at Mount Sinai, was the people could actually see these cloven tongues of fire, and they actually went to every single individual, and every single individual had to answer, you know, yes or no. Yes, we will obey. We will keep this covenant with you. But you know, they weren't able to. The second time around, the Holy Spirit was able to be poured out upon his people because of what Yeshua had done on the cross. The price had been paid for the disobedience. In other words, you know, we kind of all have fallen into that camp of, well, worshiping the golden calf, if you will. The Bible says that we have all sinned, that there's none righteous, no, not one. And so we each have to apply, if you will, if you go back even further in time, and the mixed multitude coming out of Egypt. It wasn't just Jews that came out. It wasn't just the sons and daughters of Abraham, the blood that came out, but it was a mixed multitude because all of the nations of the world had been conquered by that superpower. And so you had all the people there gathered that was serving the Egyptians, and they had a choice to make. Would they apply the door to the doorpost? Because the word went out, if you would apply the door to the doorpost, then there was going to be salvation. So, you know, that same word goes out today to each individual. Will you apply the blood of the Messiah to the doorpost of your heart? And that's how we receive the salvation in order to come out of Egypt. So we come out of Egypt, and that leads us to the Mount Sinai, where the Lord is giving us his ways. He's explaining his ways to us. He's explaining to us how we ought to live, that we should put aside those things that so easily beset us. And by the way, now he's going to empower us by the power of his Ruach HaKodesh, his Holy Spirit, so that we're enabled now to walk hand in hand beside him as we go about our Father's business, the same as Yeshua was about his Father's business. Well, we have the same Father, and we have a brother, an elder brother, by the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, that's walking with us and intercessing for us in heaven. We have Yeshua who's actually praying for us at the right hand of the Father. And he's saying at this time to his bride, like Matt said, you know, the word that really jumped out at me with Matt is about the bride made herself ready. The bride had to do something. The bride made herself ready. So what is it that you and I have to do to make ourselves ready for the coming of the Messiah? Because the King is coming, folks. And I'm not sure how much longer we have before he comes, but, you know, we've been, you know, my heart's cry is to tell the people, the King is coming, prepare yourselves. So that's where we find ourselves tonight. So Abba Father, we cry out as the bride would cry out tonight, even so come quickly, our Master Lord Yeshua Messiah, come quickly and give us wisdom as we go about our daily business. Give us insight into things that we should see. Give us eyes that see, ears that hear, feet that are busy about your business. Help us to see the times we're in more clearly, that we all would make ourselves ready for your coming. I pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, President Amen. Geiger. Mr. Underwood, John, do you have a prayer tonight or something to add this evening?
I'd like to pray. So, Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing, and thank you for this Pentecost time. Thank you for the great time and your presence that we had last Sunday at church, and pray, Lord, that you'll continue to fill us with your presence and your Holy Spirit, Lord, and your power. We thank you, Lord, that you have redeemed us and called us by your name and empowered us to be bold and speak your word and to share the good news. So thank you, Lord, that this coming Saturday is Global Outreach Day. Everybody's supposed to share the good news with one person at least. So anyway, the Lord just let us have the opportunity to do that, I pray. And thank you, Lord, for working in our president's, our previous president, Lord, being in his, working and on getting him out of prison, Lord. And thank you for his life and how that you are sustaining him. And just pray you'll continue to overshadow him with your presence and bless his ministry in the prison there to the fellow prisoners. And we just commit all this into your hands and we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, John. Let's see. Richard, do you have a prayer tonight? Don't have you muted. You must have yourself muted. Richard, you still with us? Well, I guess not. He just dropped off. I'm going to go to Mark Binder. Do you have something to add to us this evening, or add to this evening?
Yes, I do. Thank you. You know, the Word of God is so powerful, and even a simple Word of God can mean so much, especially when they use the word "and" in between the thought, which means it's a polysyndeton, and it means and there's so much other in between those two thoughts, but anyway, I'd just like to read a little bit of a scripture that I believe pertains tonight. I'm going to read Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. It says, "And when Jesus was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here, nor lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you." And also I'd like to read the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. And that says, "But the hour cometh, and it now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I'd also like to pray, too. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for watching over us and guiding us and directing us and leading us to do your will. Help us do that will better by knowing your word better and by learning it with clarity. We look forward to the two witnesses that will show up, and that will help signal some of the end times that are to come that we're praying for. So we ask that you be with us, each and every one of us, Father, and send your healing power to us and help us to be a better servant to you and a blessing to others. We ask this in your Son's holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Mark. I'm going to call on three more people, just so you know. I'm going to allow David Hertler to close us tonight, and once David closes us, I'm going to play the chauffeur, and then I'll, or the shofar, and then I'll ask Matt and Wade if they have any closing comments. I'm going to try Richard again. I saw that he dropped off, but he came back on. Do you have a prayer, Richard, that you want to pray tonight?
Well, if I can get some words out, maybe. My phone's not cooperating, but hello?
Yeah, we can hear you fine.
Oh, okay. I thought I dropped off again. What I'm hearing tonight is be prepared and, you know, like fill your lamps and be prepared. That's what I'm hearing. And I often worry about what things I have to do to be prepared, and I found something that is giving me some comfort, and I'd like to share it. It's not so much the adverse events that make you anxious as it is your thoughts about those events. Your mind engages in efforts to take control of the situation, to bring about a result you desire. Your thoughts close in on the problem, on a problem, any problem, like a ravenous wolf. Determined to make things go your way, you forget that I am in charge of your life. The only remedy is to switch your focus from the problem to my presence. Stop all your striving and watch to see what I will do. I am Lord. And that tells me that, you know, I'm gonna receive what I need to receive to be prepared in the way I need to be prepared, and I just need to seek His face, listen to what He's saying, and ask Him to speak to me, and be in my life, be present, and. That gives me a great deal of comfort, especially when you consider all the things that are going on around us. It gives me comfort and brings me some peace. So what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also among him graciously give us all things? But for me, I watch and hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior, my God. Will you hear me? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Richard. Lots of people have been having issues tonight with dropping off. One of the gentlemen that I was going to call on tonight dropped off, so I'm just going to go ahead and jump right to David Hertler and let him close us this evening. What's on your heart tonight, David?
Well, thank you, John. And I'm, you know, I can't really add anything that was delivered tonight. Matt gave an exceptional message tonight, President Geiger as well. And the rest in between, just to, you know, what a day to talk about this great day of Pentecost. And, you know, I don't know. I'm sure that most of you that are in the Republic are maybe wanting to be vindicated. And I have five children, Gene and I have five children that, for the most part, they think we're a little bit off center. And we've had problems with the people that we've been with over the course of the last 7 years. When's this going to happen and this type of thing? And so desperately want to be vindicated. And tonight while I was talking to her on the phone, she says, well, go to Psalm 26. And I'm in the Amplified, and it says, vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted, leaned, and relied on the Lord without wavering, and I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Test my heart and my mind. And, you know, I feel like I'm selfish, that I desperately want to be vindicated. I echo with Wade. You know, he gets up in the morning, says, I got another day. You know, my mercies are new every morning. I'm up in age. And I was just, before I went to bed last night, I had touched by an angel on. And the death angel said to this man, he said, you know, you're here to serve your Father in heaven. You're here to, that's why you're here, is to serve your Father in heaven. And it really touched me. Because I'm living, I believe, in my destiny, and I think many on this call are living in their destiny. They have found their purpose and their destiny, and I'm just being honest with you and with God that, you know, I fall short of really doing what I feel God is wanting me to do to serve Him. And so the only way that I could possibly come close to the bar that He has set before me is that I have to turn the key that He's given me, the key of faith, and just allow Him to speak inside of me, to speak that His words would be in my tongue. And the scripture that really has been echoing over the course of the last couple months is in 2 Peter 1:3-9. And all of you know what that scripture is, I'm sure, in the call. But what's really something, there seems to be in this scripture a formula, a recipe. You know, there's a recipe, you know, above Plymouth Rock, where you look at the monument, where if you lose liberty, that recipe that the forefathers left behind, the matrix of liberty, there's that recipe there to regain liberty. And that message has to go out to the American people. Whatever capacity God is going to use me to get that message out, I lay my life down to use that. I don't know what He's going to do with me. I don't know what the reward, if there's going to be any reward. I have no idea. But this here scripture in 2 Peter, this recipe, it says here, giving all diligence. And I don't even like that. I don't like those three words, giving all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. And when I see the word virtue, all the studying I've done, all the research that Gene and I have done, that word virtue keeps coming up over and over and over. The forefathers and the founding fathers, they knew that the key was the Word of God and to go into virtue. Because without virtue, they knew that they couldn't have liberty. But add to your faith virtue. What a tremendous statement. Add to your faith virtue. And then the virtue knowledge. This is a recipe. This is like putting in a blender. You know, this is something that He's given the believer. You know, and I fall short, you know. And then you have, you know, into knowledge, temperance. And temperance is self-control. It's being able to control your thoughts. You know, and if you can do that, you add to your temperance patience, and then to patience godliness. And then to godliness, brotherly kindness. And the brotherly kindness, charity. What a tremendous order that Peter has laid out for the believer. You know, to get your mind right, to get your soul right. You know, it's one thing, you know, to have a third of you to be holy, you know, your spirit holy. But then this Romans 12:1-2, I'm only just speaking my mind. I'm just being honest with you all in this call. To get this right and to have your mind totally cleansed and have the mind of Christ, I believe that's where he's calling me, and I believe that's where he's calling a lot of the church, to be a bride. And, you know, it says, for if these things be in you and abound, there's that word abound. They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm in awe. You know, I hear people speak on this call, and I can't help but think that they've got the solution. I can't help but think that they've done the recipe. I can't help but think that they've arrived. I can't help but think that they have oil in their lamps. I can't help but think that the door is going to be open for those to walk through it. But somehow, I don't know. You know, am I ready? Am I ready? And so, a wake-up call again tonight. Every time we talk about the oil in the lamp, every time we talk about the 10 virgins, there's been times in my life where I've had mountaintop experience. And then there's been times in my life, how did I get here? How did it happen? And I look at this verse, verse 9, because all the talking that I've done and all the talking we've done, people that are in the Republic, we're trying to share the Republic. We're trying to share the solution. What is wrong with these people? Why don't they believe me? Why don't Gene will speak? Why don't they believe? Is it too good to be true? What is it? And then I think about the word being blind. You know, I think about, you know, the God of this world, the God of this age is blind to the minds that believe it's not. You know, I wonder, when I speak to Christians, when I speak to my kids who proclaim Christianity, they're Christians. They have the Spirit of God. But yet when I share the truth, what the founding fathers gave us, what the forefathers gave us, that the blood that was shed in the Revolutionary War for the cause of liberty, my heart starts to soften. And I don't understand why God would call me to such a time as this. I feel like I'm in the days of Noah. I feel like I'm building an ark. I'm saying, get in because it's going to rain. Oh, yeah, I'm in the middle of the desert, and they think I'm crazy. But I look at verse 9 in this portion of Scripture. That he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. And have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And I know that my identity is righteousness. I know he's given me the gift of righteousness. I know that I'm a son, but sometimes I don't feel it. I want to be vindicated. I want to see the Republic stand. I love all of you guys. I love your message tonight. And Father God, I pray that you would continue to encourage all the people on this call. Build them up, Lord God. Fill them up with your Spirit. Breathe in them the fresh baptism of your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Encourage them, Lord God. Father God, make them strong. Make them mighty warriors, Lord God, dressed for battle, Lord God. For the time has come when the enemy has come with everything to take us down, Lord God. Strengthen our armor, that our armor would be glowing, Lord God. Lord, that our eyes would be filled with your light, Lord God. Lord, that truth would prevail in our tongue, Lord God. Father God, fill us up with your confidence. Fill us up with your knowledge, Lord God. Fill us up, Lord God, with I know all of those are supposed to be in us. I understand that, Lord God. I know that wisdom is the principal thing, Lord God. Father God, give us passion, Lord God, for these end days, Lord God, from here on out, Lord God, that the words that we would speak would be filled with passion, Lord God. They would be filled with words of power. Father God, our words would be so full of power. Our words would be believable, Lord God. I pray that the words that we would speak, whether on the radio or our neighbors or wherever we are, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that the words that we would speak would be so filled with power that people would take note of what we're saying, Lord God. They wouldn't say, oh, I heard that before. Yeah, I've heard that many times before. No. Lord, let us know. Remind us, Lord God, of our identity in you, Lord God. Bless all the people on this call, Lord God. Bless us, O Lord. We bless you, Lord God, tonight. But, Lord God, may our steps follow after you, Lord, that we would not get ahead of you, Lord God. Oh, Father God, that you would totally fill us up. Fill us up. Fill us up like you did the six jars, Lord God. You told them to fill it up with water to the brim, Lord God. Fill us up to the brim, Lord God, with your Holy Spirit, Lord God, that we can bear forth fruit, Lord God, your fruit, Lord God. Pour out your power upon us, Lord God. Father God, prepare us. Prepare us for the week ahead, Lord God, for we're expecting some great things to happen. It's going to happen because of you. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this night. And I pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Your hand right here. Decree there's new strength at the gate. Decree there's an ability for you to go on through. Decree that you might not see your provision, but your provision is already making a sound out there. This sound out there that has your provision in it. Lord, I loose it right now. I decree our eyes are being opened to it. Our ears are being opened to it. Our life is being opened to it. We decree on this historical week a shift that is occurring. Let's give a shout.
Whoa.
Haven't seen nothing yet. say you haven't seen anything yet. But you can also tell them you ain't coming. Listen to what God is doing. I decree now an anointing over everyone that hears this. Cross over. It's already in you. Let's give one more shout. Bless two or three people and say it's a new day.
All right, Matt, do you have anything that you want to close with tonight?
Yeah, I just want to encourage everyone. You know, the Spirit was really speaking to me to look at the smallest things that are in front of you. Don't let the details or the big picture overwhelm you. And in this time, what we just heard, the Spirit is going to work through each one of us. Let Him open up the eyes of our heart to each little thing that we can see Him working and His manifestation of His love flowing through us. And I just see a release in each one of us. And Lord, I just want to praise You for that and thank You for this evening, for the prayers, for the message. And Lord, we receive it and we just give You the glory and honor in Your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wade, you get the final word tonight.
All right. Powerful. What a blessing. You know, we're in that time and in that season where God is moving and we get to be a part of it. And that's exciting. You know, the sounds that we keep talking about, that sound of that mighty rushing wind, that sound of the shofar, the sound of God, the speak of the Lord, the voice, it's coming from above. Be listening. He's bringing direction and instruction for us to move forward over these days. Thank everybody for being here. I ask the Lord keep you, bless you, watch over you, give you rest, and let the blood of Jesus cover you and your family. And with that, we sign off and say good night. And thank you so much. Ported.